Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for joining us. I am here in studio with producer Chad Ellis and connected through the marvel of modern technology once again as we continue to practice proper social distancing is my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, are you there?
Tony, I'm here. How are you, boys?
I don't know if you could, how dialed in you were there right before we started the show, but one day we're going to have to just do one of the podcast exclusives where we tell behind-the-scenes stories.
The outtakes.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. Could you hear what was happening or no?
Yeah, was that Nickelback playing?
No, that definitely was not Nickelback. No. It was really funny, though.
Chad, the producer.
Yes, and then he says, "Sorry." Like,
that wasn't how we were going to come into this show.
What was the song?
I couldn't even tell you.
We were just getting ready to go on the air, and Chad starts a song that's going to be the bumper music. And I could see that maybe he grabbed the wrong song or was trying to maybe expand our musical library a little bit. And he let it play for a good 10, 15 seconds. And I'm looking at him like, he's going for it. This is what we're going to start the show with. And then he, at the last second, you could see him change his mind. He goes, "I'm sorry." I'm sorry. And he pots it down and he starts Bad Company.
No judgment here, though. Guys, no judgment. I mean, whatever he feels is necessary for this show to move the ball down the road.
That wasn't it.
He didn't feel that was necessary.
I had a game plan, and at the last minute, I kind of like changed the whole thing. And
that was really,
you know.
Yeah, that was really, really funny. Well, thank you again for tuning in and joining us for another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. As I mentioned, we have a podcast exclusive. We release two podcasts every week of this show. The show podcast goes out on Fridays, so you can actually get the show before it even airs on the radio. And then we release the podcast exclusive, which is a kind of bonus discussion that you can only hear if you get that podcast. And that goes out on Mondays. You can get both podcasts pretty much anywhere that you download podcasts. But I always tell people the best place to do it is the radio.com app, because with the radio.com app, you can favorite this radio station, then you can stream the station 24/7, you can rewind live radio with the radio rewind feature, and you can get the podcast of this and every other show on the station, and it is all absolutely free. So that radio.com app is basically one-stop shopping for everything here. So it's a great way.
And the podcast exclusive, explain, I mean, we go deep on some things,
yeah,
where you cannot say it over terrestrial radio.
And today would be a perfect example of that, Bo.
Right.
We are going to, a little bit later on in the show, we're going to talk to the sheriff of Jefferson County, Dave Marshak. And obviously, there's a lot going on with law enforcement in the world right now. And we'll be able to get to, you know, good topics here on the show. But we are limited just by time and, you know, just how long we're able to have a discussion on the show and on the radio. But on that podcast exclusive, we don't have any of those time restraints, and we can really dive deep, as you just mentioned, into various topics and issues. And sometimes it's very light, and we're talking about fishing and hunting and camping, and sometimes it gives us a chance to expand a more serious topic, like we probably will today with Sheriff Marshak. So it's a great podcast to listen to every week. Just download both of them. It helps us out tremendously. We appreciate everything that you guys do for us as far as downloading the podcast and supporting the sponsors of the show. Big thank you to everybody out there who's listening and downloading those podcasts. So did I get that right, Bo?
Oh, man, I think it's fantastic. And the more people that share it, and actually, we were just directed by our leaders of our company to share moments. And so that's what I'm going to be listening for in this show, to share the links for the radio.com app, because it can take you to some really good stuff. Mm. And it's amazing. So that's going to be my that's what I'm going to be listening for.
There
so
you go.
Be really good, Tony.
Yeah.
Be awesome.
I'll try. And you know what the best way to be good is to start the show the way we always start the show, with our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, is on the line as well. Aaron, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, Tony. How are you guys doing?
I cannot complain. So, yeah, a lot going on in this crazy world. What is happening out at Southern Armory right now?
Trying to keep inventory on the shelves. Still selling as if the COVID crisis, the pandemic, where people thought, I guess, they were going to have to, you know, defend themselves against their neighbors, hunt for food, etc., wasn't bad enough. We have now civil unrest, which has led to even more panic buying. Yeah. So if it couldn't get any tighter in industry, etc., we went ahead and shifted gears and left the throttle smashed to the ground.
Yeah, no kidding. So I think it was March, right, that was the all-time, set the all-time record for most firearm sales in the country, just across the board. Is that correct?
Hold on, spring did, or summer didn't hit yet.
Right, right. Well, and I remember saying, after we saw those numbers in March, I remember a lot of people said, we'll probably never approach those numbers again because it was just this, you know, perfect storm of this once in a lifetime or maybe once ever type pandemic with the country closed down and so many people, you know, just kind of uncertain about just
their future.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that started to settle down. It seemed like we were going to, you know, kind of slowly make our way back to normalcy. But then, you know, this like you mentioned, the civil unrest for, you know, many reasons that we'll try to get into some of them with Sheriff Marshak later in the show. But, you know, there's just so many different factors in why people are once again sort of surging to the gun stores. And I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're seeing still a bunch of first time gun buyers because they yep. are, I don't know, are they scared or are they just trying, you know, just want to protect themselves? Like, what is the motivation right now?
Yeah, it's protecting themselves just like it was, you know, prior. I think it was the COVID-19 crisis was a wake up call. Wow, I might have to hunt for myself, provide my own food. Wow, cops are not going to respond to certain calls. Okay. We're going to let people out of jail and medium security prisons, et cetera, with the hope that they're going to come back later. And then maybe I need to provide for my own security. And then now we have civil unrest. Law enforcement is still stretched thin. And now it's, you know, they're wow, I really may have to protect myself and my family. And in some cases, you know, livelihoods, et cetera. So you are seeing this resurgence, this awakening of people going, I am my own first responder. I am responsible for myself, my family, own safety. So, and it's always been that way. If you look at Gonzalez versus Castlewood, you know, basically the Supreme Court decision says the police do not have the duty to protect and defend you. And if you're not familiar with that case, a quick overview is this lady had a restraining order and the police didn't enforce it or failed to enforce it. And they were going to, it ended up resulting in that it was her and I think her kid got killed. It's been a minute, so I've looked over the case, but that's kind of the gist. You know, there was death involved from the person who had the restraining or she had the restraining order against, which is her ex-husband. And then the family sued the city because they did not protect her. And the Supreme Court said, no, the cops don't have a duty. They're not obligated to protect you. And it's always been that way. I think just people are starting to wake up to that fact now that really the cops can't be everywhere at once. And you have this mass chaos going on. It's not isolated just one city like it was, you know, with the Michael Brown case. That was just here in St. Louis, and it wasn't spilling into cities outside of the region too much. Now all of a sudden you look at it, and it's, wow, there's how many cities on fire right now? And all 50 states? And it just makes the citizen, right? We're not even talking about the consumer at this point. It should make every citizen go, wow, this is, you know, how do I protect myself? Even though, you know, we know the media, if it bleeds, it leads, is going to blow things up. You know, when you go up and you actually look at Ferguson, it's not the whole city. It's just, you know, these few blocks. And I imagine it's like that in multiple cities we're looking at. It's really just isolated to, you know, maybe a 6 or 8 block area. So, but when you see it spread out like it is, it really draws alarm.
Well, I you know what, Aaron and Tony and Chad, one good thing about this show is we do talk about, of course, we talk about the increase in gun sales, but we always talk about safety, cleaning your gun, and getting target practice in. And I went by Sharpshooters, or Top Gun the other day along the outer road of 55 in Arnold, Jefferson County, and the parking lot was full. There was a lot of people in there. And so that's really the main thing. And you need to talk to people, maybe your own law enforcement, if you can get a hold of them, to find out, you know, at what point is deadly force necessary. Of course, anybody could be scared, but we, you know, the cops can't, like you said, Aaron, they can't be everywhere, and they've got to prioritize their calls as well. So yeah, at some point, and thank God we're in a country we can have the Second Amendment to defend ourselves, but knowing what is the right move, because nobody, I don't care who you are, nobody wants to hurt anybody or kill somebody, unless it is absolutely necessary. So you really need to do your homework on what is legal, what is right, and how you can do it effectively. Would you agree, guys?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah. So, W class, and those are going to be starting up here shortly. I think we've come up with a way we can hold these and still meet all the requirements, but more details on that as time progresses. But yeah, you need to get into a concealed carry weapon class, and where you're reviewing the statutes for use of force, and you understand that there has to be a threat of serious death or forceful felony, and then write down and really commit those to memory. And then the other facet of this is using like our firearms training simulator, where you can get put in that situation so you can recognize, hey, this is what a robbery looks like. This is what a burglary looks like, or arson, murder, or a forceful sexual act, right? So once you get into the simulator and you start seeing those, you get programmed into, I can use deadly force. And it's just not necessarily deadly force, because we're big components of pepper spray at Southern Armory.
Hmm.
We carry a local brand made right in Fenton called Saber. It's used by law enforcement all over the United States, etc. It actually has been on a level part of this unrest, where they've been trying to burn the building to the ground because we provide this to law enforcement. But what they're also failing to recognize is they provide pepper spray to the commercial market, as well as stun guns and flashlights and bear spray and things like that. So law enforcement, you know, does use their product, but it's not necessarily the large portion of their sales when you look at the whole catalog.
Right. So Aaron, before we run out of time, you just touched on it about how you out there at Southern Armory do the CCW classes and the advanced pistol classes. I know we're getting kind of closer and closer to you opening those classes back up. For people that want to keep an eye on that calendar, get information from you guys about training, and also just learn about everything that you guys offer out there at Southern Armory, what is the best way to keep up with everything that's happening at the shop?
Right. So a couple ways you can join our newsletter by going to our website, southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
You caught us off guard.
Yeah, caught them off guard.
You can also go to our Facebook page, Southern Armory, and updates will be there. But if you really want to know the hacks of the shop, the newsletter is the best way to do it. You can sign up on the website. You can stop into the shop, 9901 Watson Road, with 1 mile east of 2744. We're happy to discuss classes with you or firearms, etc. See what we can order in for you. What we already have on order seems to be what people are kind of hitting. They already kind of know what they want. It's across the board. It's every gun store you're going to go to. All the customers come in and go, well, at least you have more than the last place.
Yeah,
you know. what do you mean? We're working on a solution to rectify that as well. I think it's going to work out pretty well. It just came to me one day. It was like, huh, yeah, let's do it this way. And so hopefully you'll start seeing Southern Armory filling up with guns. The ammo has been actually really, really steady. So if you're looking for ammunition, come in. You can always, you know, mention, hey, you're out of this when you get more, just like the guns.
Yeah.
But you know, we're selling through, you know, Walmart left the industry. We're selling through like 5 cases a week, right, of 9mm, 5 to 7 cases a week. That's about today. Now we're selling about 2.5 cases a day of just 9mm.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, make sure you guys are checking them out. Southern Armory on Facebook, a great way to keep up with everything that Aaron is doing and ask questions and get information. And, of course, the website, southernarmory.com. Aaron, thanks so much for your time, sir. We'll talk to you again same time next week.
Talk to you again. Bye.
You bet. All right, we got to take a quick break. As I said, the sheriff of Jefferson County, Dave Marshak, going to join us a little bit later in the show. And coming up next, we're going to talk to our friends out at Osage County Guns. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis. My partner, Bo Matthews, is connected through the marvel of modern technology at his home as we continue to practice proper social distancing. As I mentioned that last segment, in just a moment, we're going to talk to our friends out at Osage County Guns, one of the great sponsors of this show. Another one of the great sponsors of this show is our friends at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois. Mark, the owner of Bluff City, going to join us on the show next week. We're going to get a chance to talk a little fishing. In fact, maybe as you are listening to this show right now, I am fishing at the Lake of the Ozarks, so hopefully I'll have some fishing stories to tell on the show next week. And anytime we're talking about fishing, it is brought to you by Bluff City Outdoors, just across the river there in Alton, right on the banks of the Mississippi River. Because they're on the banks of the Mississippi River, they specialize in big catfish gear, rods, reels, hook weights, all that stuff, but they also carry a huge selection of crappie and bass lures and just about everything else you need. Half my tackle boxes from Bluff City. So if you're going fishing, Bluff City has got you covered. Check them out at BluffCityOutdoors.com. And like I said, let's go ahead and get John and Jake from Osage County Guns on the line. Always great to talk with the guys out there at Osage. How's it going, fellas?
Hello. We're doing well. Still busy, so no, it seems to be the 2020 status quo.
Right, no kidding. I mean, in all honesty, it's not for, like, the reasons for the boom in the firearm industry are not positive reasons, but once we're all said and done with 2020, it's going to be an amazing thing to look back at just the numbers, the stats of how many firearms were sold and how much ammunition was sold. It's going to be, it's got to be, right, the biggest year probably of all time for the firearm industry. Is that correct?
I think so. I know we had some record-setting months for background checks run. We're seeing, you know, near record levels of volume. You know, our retail store is rather young, but I mean, each month seems to be crushing the prior. And the same on the, you know, the internet side. It's definitely not what you expect for June. We normally start to slow down and get to the point that where we play, you know, catch up for all the things that, you know, we couldn't do during the busier months. And it's just not happening.
That was actually going to be my next question, is where should we be right now as far as the firearms cycle, the purchasing goes? And you just kind of answered it. Right now is supposed to be a little bit of a lull, but that's not the case at all.
Yeah, Memorial Day is kind of always around Memorial Day when the weather starts to change. You see the change in consumer behavior, and you see a big change in sales. It normally falls off, and it can happen abruptly. In some of the years, you know, past, we'd see 40% drops in a week, you know, from just regular pace, and then all of a sudden it just feels like it's dead, and you wonder what's going on. But it's just the normal trend, and that is not happening. It's actually inverse. It's growing. And Jake can tell you more. you know, from his experience too.
Well, when you look at some of the numbers that are out there right now, and you know, I don't have exact numbers, so these could be somewhat fabricated. But news toting and the concept is there's around 2 million new gun owners in 2020.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
So we have increased almost, you know, let's round it, give or take a little bit, 2 million supposed new firearms owners into the world of the Second Amendment. That's a large number, and that's a good amount of tax on the resources that we had, especially not planning for the chaos that ensued. Yeah. It's great for the industry. It's great for business. Unfortunately, not under the best circumstances, but right. Now it's a matter of providing for all of those new gun owners and, you know, getting out
the
there.
The safety and the training, exactly, yeah. And just the education for all those new gun owners. Go ahead, Bo.
Yeah, guys, my question about the manufacturers that had to, you know, shut down production or limit production, you know, since we started with the coronavirus, you know, what's that, 3 months ago now, are you seeing them getting back up to, you know, production levels that you're needing or seeing from the behind the scenes? Are, you know, you guys are the front line as far as people to purchase. Are the companies informing you about, okay, now we're up to partial hours or now we're up to partial production, or are they getting there?
Yeah, so there were a lot of manufacturers that did shut down completely and have been, you know, for a long time. Because of that, they're still slowly getting back open. And, you know, a lot of that count takes effect on where they're located. You know, companies that are manufacturing guns in New York are going to be held, you know, differently than gun companies that are in Georgia or, you know, Texas or other places. So not everybody's up to full swing. There's a lot of stuff. Our industry, the norm right now is 6 weeks behind. Everything right now, if I order something today, everything's about 6 weeks to 120 days plus out.
Wow.
And on top of that, you know, a couple manufacturers, I deal with SIG, and they're starting to try to, you know, ask dealers to start planning for October, November now. With the election coming, that's going to throw a wrench into everything, and you will have some people who will kind of hedge, and they'll go kind of crazy like they did in 2016 and load up on inventory, you know, potentially expecting for, you know, a Trump loss. And so that also will be a factor in the availability of a lot of inventory.
Go ahead, Bo.
You know, I had a friend that called me yesterday and said that his truck was broken into, and they took a firearm, and they took a level 3 jacket. Is that what it's called? Do you guys? It's like a bulletproof.
Yeah. There's level 3 Kevlar.
And so, do you carry that stuff out there? Because and by the way, I'm coming this weekend to see Osage. I'm coming to see you guys.
I'll be here actually, so I'll give you the grand tour.
Okay.
We actually have started layering in a lot of stuff we never carried in the past. So that includes Kevlar. So we've got some Kevlar inserts in stock right now. Those are inserts that go into bags like the Vertex bags or book bags. We do have full bulletproof vests back ordered, and the same for hard. So your steel, your AR-500 steel and ceramic plates, plate carriers. We're essentially going to end up having like a whole section of, you know, body armor kind of gear, tactical holsters, stuff that we've not carried in the past. But we're actually going to make some room to have a pretty sizable section for all that stuff. So you'll have a really one-stop shop once we can finally get our hands on and get it delivered here.
Yeah. Talking to John Dawson and Jake Fair from Osage County Guns. And I got to tell you that if you are one of these people that are looking to make that first gun purchase, there really is no better place to go than Osage County Guns out there in Wright City. As John mentioned, it's a fairly new retail store, but they've been in the industry for a very long time. and the store is the biggest you're going to find anywhere. Nobody has the selection. Nobody has the inventory that even compares to Osage County Guns. So they have something for everyone, and so if you need to make that trip out there to Wright City, of course, you can learn more on the website, osagecountyguns.com. And I wanted to touch on something, Jake, that you were just talking about as far as all these new gun owners and needing to have that education and that training. One of the problems is right now, I know you guys don't offer the classes there at Osage County Guns, but even if you did, you probably wouldn't be having them right now, and because most places that do offer training, their classes are still closed due to the pandemic and social distancing. So what are you able to tell your customers and do for first-time gun buyers that even if they want to get that training right now, as far as I know, it's not even available anywhere yet. So how do we kind of educate these people when the classes are not available?
Well, I think the biggest portion is as a consumer, if you're in shopping for a second gun, a first gun, your 50th gun, don't ever be afraid to ask wherever you may be. Obviously, we prefer you're shopping with us, but wherever you're buying a gun, to ask those employees and make sure that they're doing their due diligence to help you understand how to take the gun apart, how to fix it, how to operate it. And then, there are a lot of opportunities in shooting places, both indoor ranges and outdoor, that you can go and schedule events for shooting training on learning how to draw from a holster and learning how to shoot on the move and in low lights. And those are awesome courses to take and really get familiar with your firearm. But the real best thing to do is the more you get out and shoot, the more familiar you become, the more accurate you are, the more reliable things will be. So,
and can I jump in here? Let me jump in here about the cost of ammunition. Let's say you have a 9mm, do you guys offer different grades? Some that's best for, that's a little less expensive for target practice, as long as you can get your skills up to speed. And then the good stuff, or, is there a big difference in the pricing?
Yes. So you've got opportunities to have what we call FMJ, which is just ammunition that's full metal jacket. It's just for plinking. It's for being able to punch paper or steel plates and that kind of thing. From there, you've got higher grade FMJ competition side loads, which is a little cleaner, a little more precise, a little better. And then you have hollow points, which is more of defense load. And right. You're usually, you're a $20 to $30 a box of 20 to 25 rounds for a defense load, but you're going to be $10-$12 a box of 50 full metal jacket. So there's a big price discrepancy. The biggest thing that I'll tell new people is, shoot the same grain weight that you're going to use for protection. If you're going to shoot 124 grain hollow point, which is all stuff that we can help consumers with, but you're better off to train with 124 grain full metal jacket bullet so that they're the same weight.
Because why? Is the weapon treated? Does it treat differently or does it react differently?
It reacts differently. The impulse, the way the gun kicks, the recoil is going to be the same between the two, and your point of impact will be closer to the same because the bullets weigh the same. And so a 115 grain won't kick near as hard as a 124 and subsequent different things. So I always tell people to break a gun in, shoot 115. If you're only ever going to target shoot 115 grain. But if you're going to carry, shoot the same, try to use the same bullet weight when you can.
Good stuff, and that is the kind of information and knowledge that you can gain when you are shopping out there at Osage County Guns, once again, out there in Wright City, 6,000 square foot retail store, absolutely beautiful, and tons and tons of inventory, not just on firearms and ammunition, but gear, accessories, and everything else that you need to go along with that stuff is out there at Osage County Guns. Before we wrap up, guys, for people that haven't been out there yet, what's the best way to keep up with you, social media, websites, and of course, get out there and see you in person at Osage County Guns?
Yeah, definitely check us out at osagecountyguns.com. We are adding new inventory every single day, and we've added some staff. We're still adding more staff, and so we're more aggressively and more quickly getting inventory on our website. But you can follow us on Facebook as well. We do post sales and specials and new releases. We shoot photos and try to show off all the latest and greatest. So you can see all that on our Facebook page as well. You just search for us on Facebook for Osage County Guns, and you'll land right there.
And if you're out there this weekend, you might have a Bo Matthews spotting.
Yeah.
You will. Well, you live so far from me, man. You're a destination for a lot of people, and you're my destination this weekend.
One other great thing is when you're heading out there, it's right on the highway. So you can see Osage County Guns clearly from the highway as you're going out there. Every time I go to and from the lake, I always like, there are Osage County Guns. I don't know why I get so happy, but I'm like, oh, there it is. So once you get out there, it's easy to find. And again, osagecountyguns.com and Osage County Guns on Facebook to get more information as well. John Dawson, Jake Fair from Osage County. Always great to talk with you guys. We'll talk to you again real soon. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe.
You bet. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we will talk to Dave Marshak, the sheriff of Jefferson County, when we get back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis. My partner, Bo Matthews, is connected to his home. And in just a moment, we are going to have the sheriff of Jefferson County back with us on the show. Sheriff Dave Marshak is going to be joining us in just a minute, and he is going to be sticking around for the podcast exclusive discussion. Don't forget, we put out two podcasts of this show every week. You can get them just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I always recommend the radio.com app because it's free and it's basically one-stop shopping for everything here at the radio station. We put out the show podcast on Friday and the podcast exclusive on Monday, and in that podcast exclusive, you get a discussion, and you get we're able to kind of get a little bit deeper on some topics and spend a little more time on them than we're able to do here on the show. So really looking forward to talking to Sheriff Marshak, not only here momentarily on the show, but of course on that podcast exclusive as well. Also wanted to quickly remind you about our friends at Intervine. Intervine.com, still two amazing offers happening right now at Intervine. You can send them an email to VIP@intervine.com and get a free lantern and free batteries for that lantern. And you can take advantage of 50% off everything, all the flashlights, lanterns, headlamps, batteries, everything at Intervine by going to Intervine.com and using my name, Tony, as your discount code. Again, 50% off everything. So if you are going to be out in the great outdoors anytime soon, camping, make sure you get all that gear from Intervine at 50% off. And of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on Second Amendment Radio, it's brought to you by...
That is a beautiful segue.
Yeah.
Razorback Armory. Boy, you just crafted it so well. Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearms enthusiasts. Head on over in De Pere off 270, about a half a mile east of 270 on Manchester Road. Look for the word tennis because they're right next to a tennis store. Online, you'll find them at razorbackarmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
There you go. And now let's go ahead and get Sheriff Dave Marshak on the line. Sheriff, always great to chat with you, my friend. How's it going?
Welcome. Good. It's good to hear from you guys, and glad to be on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, thank you for joining us here on the show and sticking around for the podcast exclusive. I highly recommend folks download that podcast exclusive this week and every week as we get into some of these serious topics. I mentioned earlier in the show that podcast exclusive, if you download it every week, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's a lot of fun stuff, silly stuff. Sometimes we're talking camping, sometimes we're talking hunting, sometimes we're talking fishing, and this week we might have a little bit of fun, but I have a feeling we're going to have a very serious discussion and a lot of great information on that podcast, so make sure you're checking it out. Obviously, Sheriff, so many different directions that we could go with the conversation today. Unfortunately, we are still seeing a lot of unrest in the community, a lot of, there's a lot about law enforcement in the news right now with the defund the police idea that seems to be gaining steam in some of the more liberal areas of the country. What are you guys experiencing down there in Jefferson County? How has this affected your community so far?
We're part of the larger community, right? We're part of the St. Louis region, so we're aware of what's going on around us. And I will tell you that our community supports the police. They want law and order. They want a safe community where they feel comfortable walking around and being part of the community. So I think the conversation of defunding the police is a little concerning to our community, but I will tell them I don't believe that's a concern. I've spoke with our leadership in Jefferson County, and they are committed to having a safe community. I think the conversation of defunding the police in some of these liberal areas, further solidifies my argument that they don't want quality policing because they're willing to lower standards. They're willing to not hold police officers accountable. Defunding police is going to make things tougher on those communities because they're not going to get professional police officers. And a majority of a law enforcement budget goes to personnel. And so if you take away personnel from a police department, you're going to have longer response times. You're going to create an environment that is more dangerous for the community. And I think a lot of the areas that really need police, and particularly some of your communities that don't have money or the minority community, the people that are complaining about it most really, in some sense, need the police the most. And I think if you defund a police department that's responsible for keeping that community safe, you will really see some increased levels of violence. You'll have more victims, and I don't know that that's the best way to go about keeping your community safe.
Amen to that.
You know, Sheriff, we are a country with the Second Amendment, and I think that's fantastic, but civilians are not trained in, high intense situations. And so that's why this is just upside down world to me. And I don't understand, and I feel for your profession, because you have a police department in Minneapolis that was a model for a great police department up until the George Floyd headlines. There was that one bad apple. But I've said to so many people that why do you have a situation like that? And now every police officer in the country is bad, according to some. Your tweet that you retweeted earlier today, doctors kill 250,000 people a year. They call them medical mistakes, but because society understands that they do a very difficult job under high pressure. I don't understand why people just take one broad stroke across the police department. They don't do it with military. They don't do it with plumbers or electricians. So how are your guys, how are your troops, your men and women, talking to you about these struggles that they're having?
Listen, they're concerned. Law enforcement across the country is concerned right now. I mean, this is a coordinated effort by, and listen, I don't, it's not too often. Everybody knows I'm a Republican sheriff, but it's not too that I differentiate between the parties and politics. But I will tell you, this is a coordinated effort from liberal media to attack law enforcement. You cannot find any positive stories of law enforcement officers doing good right now. So in some sense, it's demoralizing to the police officers that are out there. They're vilifying them at levels that we haven't seen before. You have networks canceling shows like Cops and Live PD because they don't want the public to know what the police are really doing with out there. And they're doing a great job every day keeping the community safe. We're seeing children's shows that highlight police in a favorable way discontinued. Nickelodeon canceled Paw Patrol, which depicts police in a positive light.
That's
unbelievable. I hadn't even heard that yet.
That's unfair. That's so
we're
unfair.
We're huge Paw Patrol fans in our house. In fact, my 3-year-old son, every show we watch, everybody in the house has to be assigned a character. Like, so if we're watching Paw Patrol, he's one person, and when we watch Paw Patrol, I'm Chase, I'm the police, and he and my 3-year-old son is Marshall, the firefighter. I hadn't heard that it had gotten to insane level that
yeah,
it's
that's
now
not fair for children.
Paw Patrol.
But it goes further. Legos is not promoting any of the Legos in the public safety spectrum, so law enforcement, fire, EMS. So again, my prediction is by fall, you're not going to be able to find a costume for your children that will depict any of the police or firefighters, but definitely police. And I think we're in some real trouble when we consistently share this narrative that all police are bad.
So, Sheriff, I don't mean to rush in. We'll have plenty of time to talk on the podcast exclusive, but we've only got a couple minutes left on the show here. There is one question that I wanted to make sure we asked here on the air, and that is, in my opinion, every group of people has bad apples. There's going to be a small percentage of bad people in every group. The military, police,
plumbers,
radio broadcasters, right? Like everywhere. and doing our best to weed those people out and remove them from the system so they cannot create problems is an effort that I can get behind. Real quick, and again, I recommend everybody listen to the podcast exclusive. We'll get into these discussions more. But are there any reform efforts, steps that you would support or could see being positive for the law enforcement industry?
Undoubtedly. I think we're asking law enforcement to do too much. I think there's ideas that I could get behind, particularly if you're talking about pushing off some of the mental health issues that law enforcement deals with. I think there's homeless issues that law enforcement deals with, and other people are better equipped and trained to handle some of those things. So undoubtedly, I would be willing to be part of the conversation of some of those reform things. I don't subscribe to the fact that police use force at disproportionate levels among minorities because the data doesn't support it. I'm an analytical thinker in many ways. I don't respond emotionally. But I think we need to look at data when we talk about police reform and what's really going on. And somebody at some point is going to have to speak about those numbers and what it really says about crime and how the police handle it. So I'm willing to always talk about police reform. I think it's important for us to always improve and have honest introspection about what it is that we're doing and can we do things better. And so, of course, I think law enforcement can always improve and it should improve. And I think we should hold officers accountable when they violate policy, when they violate trust, when they violate constitutional standards of protections for individuals. So that comes to a larger discussion of leadership and holding people accountable.
That is Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. We're going to continue this discussion in the podcast exclusive. Make sure you download that every Monday on the radio.com app or anywhere else that you get podcasts. We're going to continue this discussion there. Sheriff, always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for your time today. And make sure you're downloading both podcasts of Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. We release them on Fridays and Mondays. That is going to do it for this week's show.
And share them.
Please do. For producer Chad Ellis and my partner Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis. My partner Bo Matthews is connected to his home, and in just a moment, we are going to have the sheriff of Jefferson County back with us on the show. Sheriff Dave Marshak is going to be joining us in just a minute, and he is going to be sticking around for the podcast exclusive discussion. Don't forget, we put out two podcasts of this show every week. You can get them just about anywhere you get podcasts, but I always recommend the radio.com app because it's free and it's basically one-stop shopping for everything here at the radio station. We put out the show podcast on Friday and the podcast exclusive on Monday, and in that podcast exclusive, you get a discussion, and you get we're able to kind of get a little bit deeper on some topics and spend a little more time on them than we're able to do here on the show. So really looking forward to talking to Sheriff Marshak, not only here momentarily on the show, but of course on that podcast exclusive as well. Also wanted to quickly remind you about our friends at Intervine. Intervine.com, still two amazing offers happening right now at Intervine. You can send them an email to VIP@intervine.com and get a free lantern and free batteries for that lantern. And you can take advantage of 50% off everything, all the flashlights, lanterns, headlamps, batteries, everything at Intervine by going to intervine.com and using my name, Tony, as your discount code. Again, 50% off everything. So if you are going to be out in the great outdoors anytime soon, camping, make sure you get all that gear from Intervine at 50% off. And of course, anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on Second Amendment Radio, it's brought to you by...
That is a beautiful segue.
Yeah.
Razorback Armory. Boy, you just crafted it so well. Razorback Armory, your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearms enthusiasts. Head on over in De Pere off 270, about a half a mile east of 270 on Manchester Road. Look for the word tennis because they're right next to a tennis store. Online, you'll find them at razorbackarmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
There you go. And now let's go ahead and get Sheriff Dave Marshak on the line. Sheriff, always great to chat with you, my friend. How's it going?
Welcome. Good. It's good to hear from you guys and glad to be on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, thank you for joining us here on the show and sticking around for the podcast exclusive. I highly recommend folks download that podcast exclusive this week and every week as we get into some of these serious topics. I mentioned earlier in the show that podcast exclusive, if you download it every week, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's a lot of fun stuff, silly stuff. Sometimes we're talking camping, sometimes we're talking hunting, sometimes we're talking fishing, and this week we might have a little bit of fun, but I have a feeling we're going to have a very serious discussion and a lot of great information on that podcast, so make sure you're checking it out. Obviously, Sheriff, so many different directions that we could go with the conversation today. Unfortunately, we are still seeing a lot of unrest in the community, a lot of, there's a lot about law enforcement in the news right now with the defund the police idea that seems to be gaining steam in some of the more liberal areas of the country. What are you guys experiencing down there in Jefferson County? How has this affected your community so far?
We're part of the larger community, right? We're part of the St. Louis region, so we're aware of what's going on around us. And I will tell you that our community supports the police. They want law and order. They want a safe community where they feel comfortable walking around and being part of the community. So I think the conversation of defunding the police is a little concerning to our community, but I will tell them I don't believe that's a concern. I've spoke with our leadership in Jefferson County, and they're committed to having a safe community. I think the conversation of defunding the police in some of these liberal areas, further solidifies my argument that they don't want quality policing because they're willing to lower standards. They're willing to not hold police officers accountable. Defunding police is going to make things tougher on those communities because they're not going to get professional police officers. And a majority of a law enforcement budget goes to personnel. And so if you take away personnel from a police department, you're going to have longer response times. You're going to create an environment that is more dangerous for the community. And I think a lot of the areas that really need police, and particularly some of your communities that don't have money or the minority community, the people that are complaining about it most really, in some sense, need the police the most. And I think if you defund a police department that's responsible for keeping that community safe, you will really see some increased levels of violence. You'll have more victims. And I don't know that that's the best way to go about keeping your community safe.
Amen to that.
You know, Sheriff, we are a country with the Second Amendment, and I think that's fantastic. But civilians are not trained in, high intense situations. And so that's why this is just upside down world to me. And I don't understand, and I feel for your profession, because you have a police department in Minneapolis that was a model for a great police department up until the George Floyd headlines. There was that one bad apple. But I've said to so many people that why do you have a situation like that? And now every police officer in the country is bad, according to some. Your tweet that you retweeted earlier today, doctors kill 250,000 people a year. They call them medical mistakes, but because society understands that they do a very difficult job under high pressure. I don't understand why people just take one broad stroke across the police department. They don't do it with military. They don't do it with plumbers or electricians. So how are your guys, how are your troops, your men and women talking to you about these struggles that they're having?
Listen, they're concerned. Law enforcement across the country is concerned right now. I mean, this is a coordinated effort by, and listen, I don't, it's not too often. Everybody knows I'm a Republican sheriff, but it's not too that I differentiate between the parties and politics. But I will tell you, this is a coordinated effort from liberal media to attack law enforcement. You cannot find any positive stories of law enforcement officers doing good right now. So in some sense, it's demoralizing to the police officers that are out there. They're vilifying them at levels that we haven't seen before. You have networks canceling shows like Cops and Live PD because they don't want the public to know that the police are really doing with out there, and they're doing a great job every day keeping the community safe. We're seeing children's shows that highlight police in a favorable way discontinued. Nickelodeon canceled Paw Patrol, which depicts police in a positive light.
That's
unbelievable. I hadn't even heard that yet.
That's unfair.
We're huge Paw Patrol fans in our house. In fact, my 3-year-old son, every show we watch, everybody in the house has to be assigned a character. Like, so if we're watching Paw Patrol, you know, he's one person, and when we watch Paw Patrol, I'm Chase, I'm the police, and he and my 3-year-old son is Marshall, the firefighter. I hadn't heard that it had gotten to insane level that
yeah,
it's
that's
now
not fair for children.
Paw Patrol.
But it goes further, you know, Legos is not promoting any of the Legos in the public safety spectrum, so law enforcement, fire, EMS. So again, my prediction is by fall, you're not going to be able to find a costume for your children that will depict any of the police or firefighters, but definitely police. And so I think I think we're in some real trouble when we consistently share this narrative that all police are bad.
So, Sheriff, I don't mean to rush in. We'll have plenty of time to talk on the podcast exclusive, but we've only got a couple minutes left on the show here. There is one question that I wanted to make sure we asked here on the air, and that is, in my opinion, every group of people has bad apples. There's going to be a small percentage of bad people in every group. The military, police,
plumbers,
radio broadcasters, right? Like everywhere. and doing our best to weed those people out and remove them from the system so they cannot create problems is an effort that I can get behind. Real quick, and again, I recommend everybody listen to the podcast exclusive. We'll get into these discussions more. But are there any reform efforts, steps that you would support or could see being positive for the law enforcement industry?
Undoubtedly. I think we're asking law enforcement to do too much. I think there's ideas that I could get behind, particularly if you're talking about pushing off some of the mental health issues that law enforcement deals with. I think there's homeless issues that law enforcement deals with, and other people are better equipped and trained to handle some of those things. So undoubtedly, I would be willing to be part of the conversation of some of those reform things. I don't subscribe to the fact that police use force at disproportionate levels among minorities because the data doesn't support it. I'm an analytical thinker in many ways. I don't respond emotionally. But I think we need to look at data when we talk about police reform and what's really going on. And somebody at some point is going to have to speak about those numbers and what it really says about crime and how the police handle it. So I'm willing to always talk about police reform. I think it's important for us to always improve and have honest introspection about what it is that we're doing and can we do things better. And so, of course, I think law enforcement can always improve and it should improve. And I think we should hold officers accountable when they violate policy, when they violate trust, when they violate constitutional standards of protections for individuals. So that comes to a larger discussion of leadership and holding people accountable.
That is Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. We're going to continue this discussion in the podcast exclusive. Make sure you download that every Monday on the radio.com app or anywhere else that you get podcasts. We're going to continue this discussion there. Sheriff, always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for your time today. And make sure you're downloading both podcasts of Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. We release them on Fridays and Mondays. That is going to do it for this week's show.
And share them.
Yeah, and share them. Please do. For producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.